Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I see there's an alarm clock up here, so I get to preach till this goes off. Okay, good. Maybe I'll be done before it goes off. I hope so. It's good to be with you. I see you church has the same problem our church does. Everybody can see very well, so they sit towards the back so they can see up front. And our church seems to have that problem. And you know what? When ministers go, it's funny. We talk about this all the time, but when ministers go to meetings, we do the same thing. We like to sit in the back and leave those front rows empty. But that's okay. That's why we have amplification. So you can't get away from me this morning. This morning I want to preach from Proverbs 1. And for myself, I'm one of those guys, I like to learn, I like to know things. And when you want to do that, often you realize your lack of knowledge. And I have that lack of knowledge, I feel. And the Lord impressed upon me about a year ago to preach through the Proverbs. Now, it's a little hard to preach through all of Proverbs. So I preached through Proverbs 1, chapter 1 through chapter 9. And it was an interesting, it was an awesome experience to be able to preach. It took about a year to preach through 9 chapters. And this morning I want to share with you just the first 8. I'm going to actually read the first chapter, but we're going to go back and look at the first 8 verses, 8 or 9 verses of chapter 1. But something that really stuck out to me, probably the biggest thing that stuck out to me in my study of the Proverbs, was we so often hear that God speaks in a still, small voice. The Proverbs, to me, proved otherwise. God speaks very plainly, very bluntly, and I love that. He doesn't beat around the bushes. You know, Satan loves to deceive us. God doesn't do that. Doesn't do that at all. And as I was reading and studying through the Proverbs, and we'll see that whole principle here in chapter 1, is God is honest. He's truthful. And when we worship Him for that. But it's true. He doesn't hide anything. He doesn't tell us, well, if you're a Christian, life will be easy. He tells us it'll be difficult. And I want to praise Him for that this morning. And as I was thinking also of Proverbs, you know, there's more wisdom and knowledge out there today. There's more articles. We have more access to articles, books, translations. Thank you. Than we can ever even imagine to look at. There's no way possible to read all the available information there is out there. Basically, on any subject that you want to study on. Yet, godly wisdom and knowledge seems to be lacking. And why is that? And in no way am I wanting to make so that we don't use those things. I use study helps all the time. I love to listen to other sermons. I love to listen to other people preach and to hear what God has to say. But we still need to look at the Bible for our own selves. And so if the main part of our search for godly wisdom is in those things and then not in the book, in God's book, we often get led astray. You know, many people, they chase after this program or that program. If I could just do this, then life will go great for me. I'll be able to be this perfect Christian. I'll have victory and live the perfect dream Christian life. If I can just get a hold of the right program. The odd thing that so often happens is that dream often looks like the American dream more than the Christian dream. God tells us that following Him will be difficult, but the reward will be out of this world. And I'm thankful for that. As I was thinking about wisdom, somebody has defined godly wisdom as this: instruction in how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences of how we live our life. And that's really what we want to do. Godly wisdom helps us to know how to use God's word to carefully inspect our lives, not other people's lives, our lives. And be able to see all the possible consequences, both in this world and eternally, for our actions, whether good or bad. And we see here a book provided by God through Solomon, sharing those things that God had shared with him. So let's read Proverbs 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. But I think it gives, we're only come back and look at the first 8 verses, but I think it gives us an overview of God's openness. We actually cover a lot of things in chapter 1 here. So let's begin at Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. And there will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains around about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. And verse 20, and next couple of verses, is what really stuck out to me when I started reading and studying the Proverbs. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you have disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own and be filled with the full of their own fancies. And for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear or evil. And as I looked at this passage and started studying Proverbs, God just says it how it is. There's no beating about the bush. And I love that. And as I was thinking about Solomon, you know, Solomon had a dream and he asked, God told him, ask for anything, ask for anything, ask for whatever you want. And I've always wondered, why did Solomon ask for wisdom? Why did he ask for that? I've been intrigued by that question. Why did Solomon ask for wisdom? What made him do that? But in Proverbs 4, which you're not going to look into very deeply, but Proverbs 4 gives us the answer to that. If you want to turn there just a little bit, we're going to read the first 9 verses of that also. This is Solomon talking to his children about what his dad taught him. And it gave me a good understanding of why Solomon asked for wisdom when God asked him to give him anything he wanted. It says, Proverbs 4:1, hear my children, the instruction of your father, and I give attention to knowing, to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, says Father David, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor.
When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. She will deliver you.
So his father, David, was sharing with Solomon what wisdom does, what wisdom is. Get wisdom. Get understanding with exclamation marks in my Bible. That's what he was to seek after. That's what he was to look after from childhood. His father was telling him, have wisdom. So if God asks you, what do you want? Solomon's going to say, I want wisdom. His father was teaching him from a young child that that is what he wants, what he needs to ask for, what he needs to seek out. Now let's look at the opposite example, the opposite extreme of this. In Hosea 4, and I'll read it, 4:1-6. We see here the people of Israel, and it's exactly the opposite is what's happening here. Hear the word of the Lord, people of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land. And this is talking to the people of Israel, the people of God. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another. And I had to think about it as I was studying this. Doesn't this sound like today? Doesn't this sound like today? We never change. People never change. We need Jesus all the time. Doesn't matter how far back goes. There is no truth, no faithful love, no knowledge of God in the land. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another. For this reason, the land mourns and everyone who lives in it languishes. Along with the wild animals and the birds of the sky, even the fish of the sea disappear. But let no one dispute, let no one argue, for my case is against you priests. You will stumble by day, the prophet will also stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. In verse 6, he gives the reason. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from serving as my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your sons. Again, God is very plain, very honest with us, very open with us. So what kind of knowledge were they lacking and rejecting? It was godly knowledge. And notice it doesn't say that the lack of knowledge was due to ignorance, due to the lack of teaching. Sometimes I think we think that people don't accept Christ just because they don't hear about him, especially in churches sometimes. We don't share about him enough. It's because of ignorance. Someone just needs to tell them. Someone just needs to tell it to them correctly. Too many times I believe it's the same as these people here. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. We've rejected Christ. Could it be because they reject Christ? Matthew Henry says this about this passage in Isaiah. He says, the reason why the people did not learn and the priests did not teach was not because they had not the light, but because they hated it. Not because they had not ways of coming to knowledge of God and communicating it, because they had no heart to it. They rejected it. They desired not the knowledge of God's ways, but put it from them and shut their eyes against the light. And he says this, he says, those that rebel against the light can expect no other than to perish in the dark. And these were God's chosen people. You think they would know better. They thought they knew God, yet they were being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge of God. You know, today we say we believe God's word, yet we never read it. We go by what other people say about it. We're not like the Bereans that listen and then went to Scripture to see if it was true. We don't like to do that. It's easier just to believe what we want to believe and find the preacher that preaches what we want to hear. So much easier to do that. Remember Psalm 1. You know, when I became a preacher, I always said, I'll never preach out of the Old Testament. I like to preach out of the Old Testament. It's not that I like all the old laws and stuff, but I like, there's so much stuff that is just good for us. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight
is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. Are we doing that? The good news, what I found so encouraging about studying Proverbs was the fact that God wants to share that knowledge with us. All the wisdom that He gave Solomon, He'll gladly give it to us if we look for it, seek for it. And Solomon wrote it down. We have Proverbs. God wants to share His wisdom with us. And we go back to verse 1. It talks about the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And gives us the reason. The first couple of verses here give us the reason for these Proverbs. It says, verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. ESV would say, and I'm reading out of New King James Version, but ESV would put it this way, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. And that the word know has the idea to be able to perceive and to know how to do something, to understand, to know wisdom and to know instruction, to know how it works. It's what the Proverbs are for, to perceive the words of understanding. Perceive as the idea of to separate mentally, to be able to think things through. Alistair Begg has said this about the Christian faith. He said it engages our mind. There's so many different religions that tell us, you know, just empty your mind. Just empty your mind. God never tells us to empty our mind. He tells us to fill it. God says, fill your mind, renew your mind. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And as I read these verses, and as I was studying this, you know, the Lord is pressing on me, going, what are you thinking about during the day? What are you looking at on your phone during the day? What are all these things? What are you meditating on? Where are you getting your wisdom and your knowledge from? Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 1:13, and this is in the ESV again. Therefore, preparing your mind for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Preparing your minds for action. Romans 8:5-6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And again, verse 6, again I'm saying, God doesn't beat around the bushes. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Puts it pretty plainly, puts it pretty simply. Verse 3, Proverbs 1 says, to receive instruction of or in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And as another thing that was interesting, and I, for the sake of time, skipped over just a little bit. When God asked Solomon what he wants, he asked for wisdom, not for himself, but for wisdom to be able to lead his people. He asked for people. And as we look at this, verse 3, to receive instruction in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Those are the things that he needed to lead his people well. Wisdom has the idea, and I talked about this earlier, instruction. Wisdom is instruction how to carefully consider all circumstances and possible consequences. How often do we do that? You know, we often want to just do what we want to do now, and we don't think about the circumstances or the consequences that come later, whether it's good or bad. What we do, I think it's good to know. And wisdom gives us what we need to know how to carefully consider. Justice. Instruction in what is right. So that's what the Proverbs do. It gives us instruction in what is right. It gives us instruction in judging things correctly. The idea of judgment there. Equity. Helps us to see what is and judge free from bias or favoritism. And as a leader, we need to be able to do that. As a father, we need to be able to do that. As a, an employee or an employer, we need to be able to do those things to lead well. Verse 4 says, to give prudence to the simple. The idea is shrewdness to the inexperienced. To give prudence to the simple. The ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. And it's godly reason. It's not the worldly reason that we're looking at, that we're getting lambasted with every day today, from every direction. Skill and good judgment in the use of our resources. Caution or circumspection as to danger or risk. To give prudence to the simple. To help those that, to give wisdom to those that don't have it. In other words, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The quality or of having or showing discernment or good judgment. The ability to make responsible decisions. That's what the Proverbs help us do. Sinclair Ferguson says this. He says this about Proverbs. It's a book to know how to negotiate life. And that's as I was studying Proverbs that came out so often. It's a book to know how to negotiate life. And that's really what we want to know, isn't it? How to negotiate through this life. And I love the Proverbs. I'd encourage anybody to study it. It's good. It was a good passage to, a good book to preach through. And it's amazing as I was preaching through this, and I discovered this a little later than I wanted to. But once you get to chapter 10 and on, then it's just like, you can't really preach through that because it's just jumping all over. But if you study it, the rest of the book all fits into the first 9 chapters. So often what I would do is pick out a passage and then go into the last books, and you could pick out a whole bunch of stuff that goes with that passage. And it was interesting to do. And it's a side note just a little bit. I enjoy preaching through books. We at church, everybody gets to pick their own book for a while. So mine was Proverbs. And it's, every once in a while when we all get done at the same time, we preach through a book together. And that's what we're doing right now at church. We're preaching, all three of us ministers are preaching through the book of Hebrews. We've got it divided out, and makes it interesting to try to preach through a book together. But I've enjoyed it. It's the third time we're doing that, and I really enjoy that. I've been enjoying Hebrews because when you preach through a book the whole way, you start connecting a lot of dots. And so I enjoy doing that. That's not necessarily the way it has to be done, but it's a way that I enjoy. Back to Proverbs 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Here has the idea of hearing intelligently, attentively, and with obedience, wanting to learn. A wise man will want to learn, will want to increase in knowledge. He's not listening distractedly, doesn't let it go in one ear and out the other. And a man of understanding, going on there in verse 5, will attain wise counsel or good advice to understand a proverb and an enigma or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. A man who uses his mind will get help to understand the things he doesn't understand. You know, we can't always know everything ourselves. If we can find a few good men to help us. And actually, I think that's part of what our church is for. Church is for, I would say this, we're not made to run this Christian race alone. God gave us 3 things. He gave us the Holy Spirit, He gave us His Word, and He gave us the church. And with those 3 things, we can walk through life. And so often we want to maybe just use one or the other. But the 3, I think, give us a good balance. Using all 3 of those is a good balance to help us walk down the road. So many times I see somebody say, well, I'm going to study the Word for myself. I'm just going to study it. I remember back when I was in the youth, a guy did this, and all of a sudden he was way out in left field somewhere. But he would not listen. He would not sit down and study with other men. He didn't want to hear what other men had to say. He said, I'm just going to do what the word says. And all of a sudden, he was way out there. We need each other. We need all to be a well-rounded Christian. I think we need all three. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the word, and we need the church to help us be wise and growing Christians. A man who uses his mind will get help to understand the things that he doesn't understand. Proverbs 14:33 says, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. You know, wisdom is not a once and done thing. We don't just learn, get all our wisdom at once. It is a lifetime of seeking. It is not something we expected to find alone. And I always say this, why learn something the hard way when other people have experienced it? Why go through it and try to learn it all over all by myself? Why not learn from someone else's trials and mistakes, their victories? Learn from those. Something I've discovered in business is that finding someone that has already done it, done what you want to do, saves you a ton of time and a ton of money. In a business I used to work at, we wanted to try something new. And it's something that's been done for years, hundreds of years. We wanted to try this. But we didn't ask for any advice. We were going to figure it out on our own. We did not do a good job. We did not do a good job figuring it out on our own. After a year of struggling and finally putting it in place and having all kinds of issues, we finally did get help. We finally did ask some advice. And we were so wishing that we would have asked for that earlier. In the same way, I believe a mentor can save you a lot of pain and heartache. If we find somebody to walk along with us, it's good to do that. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel or good advice. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Reverence of the Lord and believing in His word is the beginning of knowledge. Believing God is the foundation of our knowledge is built on is key. You know, I think about this. If the scientific community would just believe God's word, we'd be so much further along. I look at evolution as saying 2 + 2 = 5. It's not a right answer. You cannot figure out a complicated math problem if you think 2 + 2 = 5. You just can't get there. So what you're doing the whole time is trying to figure out how to prove that 2 + 2 = 5, and you never get the math problem done. For me, that's how evolution is. Evolution is 5. It's not the right answer. So then you spend your whole time figuring out how to prove evolution rather than believing God's word and going from there. I think as far as our scientific community has gone, I think there could be even more if we would just trust in God and believe in what He has taught us. And so what is the issue? We see them rejecting godly knowledge. Again, rejecting godly knowledge. If we go on there, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the wise man will seek out. He will seek out somebody to help him. He'll seek out wise counsel. But the fool despises wisdom and instruction. And we talk about wisdom is knowing how to discern, how to carefully look at the consequences of the things that we do. And it says the fool despises that. He doesn't want to know what the consequences are of what he's doing. A fool doesn't ask for help in understanding. Proverbs 10:21 says this, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 14:8, the sensible person's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of fools deceives them. That's the Christian Standard Version, puts it very bluntly. The sensible person's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of the fools deceives them. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Two big things. I think I'll go ahead and put this in here. Two big things I think that wisdom help us overcome. And as I was studying Proverbs and looking at this, one of those is bad decisions. Now, will we ever not make a bad decision? No, I don't think so. We're going to make bad decisions. But we can make less bad decisions, right? The less bad decisions we make, the better off we are. And as you look, if you study on into the Proverbs, you'll see that the ignorant, due to the lack or the rejection of godly knowledge, walk in paths that will lead to their destruction. We see that over and over. Bad decisions are those decisions that do not honor God. Really, when we talk about bad decisions, sometimes we give a bad decision. We turned left, went down the wrong way, wrong road the wrong way. It's not a consequence. But a truly bad decision is a decision that does not honor God. We are all human and will sometimes make bad decisions, but they will be greatly reduced when we seek godly wisdom. I just think of Peter. Peter made some bad decisions in life. He made some decisions that weren't so wise. But as he grew in understanding, I believe those decisions became less and less. Those unwise decisions, those bad decisions became less and less the wiser he became. Foolish decisions are decisions to not seek God. Decisions to reject God are the decisions of fools. And we see that. You'll see that over and over as you go through the Proverbs. And as you go through the Proverbs, you will see that it's all about decisions. You know what? I don't like to make decisions. My wife doesn't like to go shopping with me. Because if I want to go shopping for a shirt, now she should be proud of me. We went suit shopping the other day, and we were in and out in an hour. That was amazing for me. I felt really good about that. Because the last time I went shirt shopping, I think we were in there for 3 hours. My wife loves to shop and I despise it. She was ready to leave. That's how I don't like to make decisions. I don't like to, well, do I like this one? Well, what if I get this one? Well, does this, you know, I don't like, but life is about making decisions. And it's about making good and right and correct decisions. And I believe Proverbs, as I studied the Proverbs, I was so thankful that God has given us what we need to make good decisions. He's given that to us right here in His Word. We don't need a still small voice speaking in our ear to tell us what good decisions are. God has told us right here in His Word what the good decisions are. And those are to follow Him and to honor Him. And the first and most important decision we need to make is to follow Christ. You know what tricks us so often is that the consequences for bad decisions often don't show up till later. They often don't show up till later. And the consequences for good decisions often have reactions almost right away. There seems to be that issue. The second thing that I believe the Proverbs help us with, that wisdom helps us with, is fear. You know, we're not to base our faith on feeling. Feelings come and go. But fear, most fear comes from lack of understanding. We don't understand what's going on. Somebody has said this: fear comes from the lack of knowledge and a state of ignorance. The best remedy for fear is to gain knowledge. And if you study animals and you study humans, when there's somebody that we don't understand, we don't know what's happening, we fear it. We do that. But the Bible tells us, fear not. It's used 60 times in the Bible, and 50 times it was using the idea, fear not, because God is with you. That's why we don't fear. It's not because of the circumstances have changed. It's not because things are going differently. We don't fear because God is with us. He says, do not fear, because I am with you. The knowledge God shares with us in His Word is our biggest weapon against fear. Knowing the story from creation to revelation helps us overcome the fear of this world. And you know, this world is chaos. And if we don't understand it, it's a scary place. It's a place to be fearful. And I don't know how many of you have been to the Sears Tower. You can tell I'm old. I call it the Sears Tower, the Willis Tower, and I think it has a new name now. So you can kind of gauge how old you are by what you know that tower by in Chicago. But I don't know if you've been there. It's been a while. I think it's been, I don't know how long. But there's a, they have a, this glass box sticking out the side of the building. I don't know if you've ever been there or done that. It's a scary, scary place to step out on. But you know how I I won't talk about how my wife came over her fear of it. But how I overcame the fear of that was I would say, through knowledge. I had to think it through. Okay, so here's this glass box, and if you step on there, it's, you can see all the way to the bottom. It just almost looks like there's nothing there if they keep it clean. And so I'm thinking, I like to think things through, I guess, an analytical person, if I say that right. So I'm thinking this through. Okay, so there's a glass box here. There's other people have been on it. I see people getting on and off. Still scares me. Could still fall. But I think about, okay, so rationally thinking about this here. The engineer that designed this, he's not going to design it so that it can fall down, because he's going to get in trouble if he does that. So it's probably, and in doing some engineering work myself in my work, I know that we usually over-engineer. And almost everything is engineered to hold double the weight that it's probably ever going to hold. So I know that. So I know this has been engineered. I know it's probably engineered to hold double the weight that it's ever going to hold. I know that the Sears Tower is not going to put that on there, because if it collapses, they're going to get sued to no end. So the chances of that falling or collapsing if I step on it are pretty minimal. That's how I overcame my fear of that. By knowledge, by understanding, by thinking it through. Going, okay, there's this, you know, the engineering, other people have done it. And it's the same way, I believe, with God's Word. When we understand God's Word and how He designed things, what He has given us, the fear of this world goes away. It can go away for us. Knowing the design of this world is what gives me the power over fear. Fear over death. What causes us not to fear death? Knowing our Lord and Savior and what He is in store for us. So, after preaching through the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, it was refreshing for me to see the simplicity of godly wisdom. It's not complicated. The thought that kept coming back over and over is that God is a caring God. And He wants His people to know and to understand the consequences and the rewards of following Him. God never tries to trick us. It's the other thing that kept coming out. He never tries to trick us into becoming a Christian. He fully shares the good things and the hard things about following Christ. God, in sharing the consequences and the rewards of following Him, gives us full disclosure. He tells us the whole story. Gives us everything. In this life, it will be hard, but the eternal reward, we would say, is out of this world. He tells us you can't do it alone. And I talked about this a little bit. He's given us His Word, the Holy Spirit, and the church to help us along in this journey. You know, and this is exactly opposite of what Satan does. He says life that you have here and now is all there is, and you need to enjoy it. Do what makes you happy. Follow your desires, and you will be so satisfied. But the devil's promises are all lies, or sleight of hand, to trick us and deceive us. And what I love about godly wisdom is it takes the blinders off, and we can see those lies and we can see those deceptions. God speaks very plainly, very openly about the consequences of human behaviors and decisions, whether good or bad. He tells us. He doesn't try to hide it. And the other thing that I love about Proverbs and love about God is a theme that keeps coming up, is that God wants us to know. He wants us to know wisdom. We've talked about it in Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. It's not hiding inside. She's calling out outside. She raises her voices in the open squares. That's like going to the busiest place where the most people are. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourse. It's like going to a big mall, standing in the middle of it and saying, "Here I am." That's what wisdom is doing. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. I love that.
God wants to share His knowledge and wisdom with His people. You know, it doesn't even make us get a 7-year degree or anything to be able to know godly wisdom. And I think godly wisdom so often is like the gospel. It's so simple that even a young child can understand it. And this is what I'm seeing in Proverbs over and over. It's so simple. Wisdom, godly wisdom, is so simple that even a young child can understand it, yet so deep we can never understand the depths of it in a lifetime. Love that about our Lord and how He's made things. But He also makes it very clear that often the lack of godly wisdom and knowledge is not ignorance. As we saw in Proverbs 24. It says, because I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you have disdained all my counsel and you would have none of my rebuke. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. You know, it reminded me of a statement attributed to Mark Twain. It says, it comes to mind, it ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand that bother me. And so often that's the case. Many times when people are bothered by and want a way out of God's clear commands, they look to other sources and teachings that make the clear things muddy. That's what we love to do. Make the clear things muddy. This leads away from godly wisdom. Why is godly wisdom so hard to find? Not because it can't be found, but because the flesh does not want to find it. Godly wisdom wars against the flesh in current and even our current cultural Christianity. It says that you can have both the fulfillment of the flesh and be a Christian. You can see that. You can turn in all kinds of preachers that tell you that you can have everything you want that the world offers and still be a Christian. And so often those things are sought that give the fleshly desires, I say, a godly outer cover. So I would encourage you to read the Proverbs and be refreshed with the simplicity and clarity of godly wisdom and God's desire to share it with you. He wants to share His wisdom with you. He doesn't want us to walk around blindly, but He wants to share His wisdom with us. And it was an encouragement to me as I studied the Proverbs that God wants to share His wisdom with us. If you want to stand, we'll have a closing prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. Father, I thank You that You speak clearly. Lord, You don't beat around the bush. Lord, You tell us how it is, exactly how it is, Lord, when we read Your word and want to understand. You help us, Lord, and I thank You that You want us. You're not trying to hide who You are, not trying to hide Your wisdom and knowledge from us, but Lord, that You share it and want us to know it. And I thank You for that, Lord. I pray that I can desire that more, Lord, that I can desire Your word, that I can desire Your wisdom and Your knowledge, Lord, and I pray that for each one here also. Pray that You be with us as we go this week, Lord, that we can be a shining light to the world, Lord, that is living in fear, Lord, in this world of chaos, Lord, that we can have the peace, Lord, that shines Your light. I pray this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.